Hi, this is Carla, and welcome to episode 28 of There Might Be Cupcakes. I hope you enjoyed the Mega Halloween episode and my own little homage to the Blair Witch Project with the Bunny Man Bridge story. I will have a creepy Virginia episode this month where I discuss the Bunny Man Bridge and other such stories and share with you how very much of that story was true. For example, the stories really did appear in the Washington Post. There's more truth than legend there, believe it or not. But for this episode, I'm going to do something I've been asked to do before now. Read more from my novel in progress, which I initially read in episode 14. It's called Watching the Detectives, from the Elvis Costello song, and the cover image is the book image I designed for the National Novel Writing Month project last year when I started writing it. The book's plot is based loosely on around a real-life missing persons case that has been getting a lot of press this past month due to the documentary about it, that of Mara Murray. For those of you who do not know, the short version is this. Mara Murray is a nursing student at the University of Massachusetts Amherst who disappeared on the evening of February 9, 2004 after a presumably one car accident on Route 112 in Haverhill, New Hampshire. Before she got into her car, she emailed her professors and her boss that she was taking time off due to a death in the family, which was apparently not true. Some people, due to her actions, believe she wanted to disappear. Some believe she is missing due to foul play. Some hold the behaviors of her classmates before her disappearance in high suspicion. There was a party about which no one will talk and at which something strange may have happened just before she left campus. Whatever the case, Mara has never been knowingly seen since. For my novel, I took key points of this case and let my imagination run wild. So please note that these characters are all of my own concoctions, and their personalities and inner demons are not at all intended to be reflections upon those of Mara or anyone else involved. This is fiction. Before I begin, I will recommend the book through my sponsor, Audible, and another podcast to enjoy. They're both about this case. First, the book. Go to audibletrial.com/mightbecupcakes, sign up for a free 30-day trial of the very best audiobook store ever, and choose as your free book to keep True Crime Addict, How I Lost Myself in the Mysterious Disappearance of Mara Murray by James Renner. James narrates it himself, and it's fascinating. He's completely honest about his own mistakes and his obsessive nature, and he really did overturn some rocks that law enforcement missed completely in this case. The podcast I recommend, and I do always try to remember to recommend another podcast, because when someone else wins, I win. That's what cupcakes are all about. We all get one, is Missing Mara Murray. Spooky and powerful, it's devoted to exploring every angle, and Tim and Lance are good people. I recommend starting from episode 1. I will place links to both James' book and to the podcast on this episode's entry at theremightbecupcakes.com. And now, I did again promise to read to you. I do recommend listening to episode 14 before listening to this episode, if you're particular about that sort of thing. But either way, please enjoy. And please note, there's one section in this book taken from Facebook, Beatrice Burchett's Facebook wall preserved and taken into evidence. I'm not going to read the likes on the post. Although who likes what post or comments is pertinent information, I fear for the purpose of listening, such information might get muddled. So I'm going to read everything but. I'm going to read the post, who made it, the date it was made, and who commented. That should suffice today's purposes, I hope. I do hope you enjoy this work in progress. Pretty, smart, flirtatious, as brainy girls are flirtatious, all ironic nuances and ellipses, as difficult to interpret as a miniature poem of Emily Dickinson's. Joyce Carol Oates, American Appetites. At the very beginning of the semester, the beginning of her do-over year at Tyler, no one mentioned UVA, it didn't happen, all washed away, white as snow, clean slate. After their first free climb without equipment, Amos swore Beatrice to secrecy. Promise, he'd insisted, as they stood by his Range Rover, she facing into the sun, he facing her, power position. You know your mother wouldn't understand, and your coach. Here he chuckled, That conspiratorial sound he seemed to save for her. She knew he did. She hoped he did. And she loved it. She had to admit she loved it. Your coach would kill me, baby girl. You can't tell anyone that we climbed like this today, free-handed. It was only bouldering, she protested, if only to make their conspiring linger. Just a few more moments of Dad and Busy Bee. A giant rock, for fuck's sake. He placed one finger on her lips, his crooked smirk matching hers. Language. Fuck that. And Beatrice pretended to bite his finger, as she always did. But Dad, really, it's not like it was the face of the Eiger. Just bouldering in the Appalachians. No big deal, just some freehanding. Still, you know how alarmist people can be. Flatlanders, people that only go by the rules. Sheeple, Beatrice finished, using his own word. He beamed, as proud as proud. He placed one hand on top of her head, where the setting sun made her hair appear to be on fire, as opposed to the strangely sun-already-set brown ends, as a benediction. Secret. Keep our secret, and we'll do it again. Because you liked it, didn't you, Busy Bee? She grinned, knowing he required no answer. Using the hand on top of her head, he pulled her forward and kissed her forehead, completing the benediction. You liked it. I knew you would. Under her pillow that night, in her bedroom at Amos's house, she found her reward. Two books by John Krakauer. Eiger Dreams, Ventures Among Men and Mountains, and Into the Wild. She devoured them, sleeping very little that weekend, flushed and feverish from ideas and fantasy and sleep deprivation and Alexander Supertramp. Returning to Tyler College that Sunday night, she locked herself in her single dorm room, closed the blinds, reread certain marked passages in Eiger Dreams about dangerous, death-defying, and death-claiming climbs, free-handed, equipment-free climbs, and free soloing, performing those rock climbs both free of equipment safety and companion safety. BG then masturbated furiously to the book, crying out and crying tears as she caused herself both pain and pleasure. Warm and confused moisture ran from her eyes into her ears and down the cliff on her chin. She flew and fell into sleep in complicated erotic dreams of new identities, frozen waterfalls, slippery rocks, cliffs that touched the sky, climbing, 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 climbing. She awoke with her face on the cover of Eiger Dreams and tiny droplets of blood on her fingertips. She marveled at them as if they were a science experiment, as she stood under the water of her steaming shower, holding her hand up so that the sparkling spray and her spread fingers imitated each other in the second overhead light. Picks, or it didn't happen. What you doing? Oh my God, what the fuck is that? What is wrong with you? In one fluid ballet of camaraderie to abject disgust, Alexandra smiled at Beatrice's back as BG sat on a picnic table bench in the quad, slid one leg over the bench to join BG, got a glimpse of BG's laptop screen, recoiled with fight or flight, and ended up in a tangle on the grass. Have you lost your fucking mind? Hi, X, BG responded, smirking at the computer screen. Yeah, don't apologize or help me up or anything. X stood, collected her scattered belongings, brushed grass off her clothing, and reseated herself, this time not anywhere within eyesight of BG or her laptop. You should come with a trigger warning, just in general. There's your next tattoo, a general trigger warning. BG may disturb the general population. Hazardous to small children, the elderly, and individuals with heart condition. Ask your doctor. I don't think I have any real estate large enough for that kind of ink. BG continued to slyly smirk, obviously pleased with herself as having so completely rattled X, and yet not looking away from her computer. Maybe just the warning triangle and exclamation point will have to do. Cute little one on my wrist. I already deeply regret asking this, but what was that I just saw? It looked like a dead body lying in snow. A nasty-ass dead body lying in snow. A dead body lying in snow, BG confirmed as she nodded an energy bar. X raised her hands to the heavens in mock defeat. Of course it is. Now tell me it's a still from a horror movie, please. Nah, nah, gulp. Nope. Chug of water, swallow. Real. Why, Beatrice Grace, are you looking at pictures of dead bodies in snow? They're all hikers that failed to make it to the summits of Mount Everest. So they're just left where they fell? Why am I asking you this? Listen to me. You're sucking me into your morbid risking death, hiking, and climbing bullshit. I'm not doing this with you again. Yes, I am. Damn it. Yes, they are just left wherever they fell or camped. Chug, swallow. Often, if the hiker made it to a high enough elevation, retrieving their body is a risky venture for other hikers and Sherpas. So that's where the bodies stay? They don't bury them? BG looked over her monitor at X. Really? Okay, one, permafrost. Two, I'm not volunteering to be the asshole that has to hump the shovel up Everest so some guy who couldn't make it gets a proper burial. Just not realistic. Besides, and here comes the sly grin again, three, the bodies are useful. Jesus, take the wheel, you're baiting me, and I know better than this, and I can feel my ass turning black and blue from that fall you just made me take, but I will play your reindeer game. How are the bodies useful, Beatrice Grace? BG grinned her pirate grin at Alexandra, stuffed the last piece of energy bar into her mouth, and with her mouth deliberately full, crowed, Landmarks! You're full of shit. Also disgusting, and full of shit. BG, nearly choking on the war between swallowing and laughing, finally controlled her battlefield. I'm sorry, but goddamn, look on your face. But I'm serious. Bible serious. Landmarks. Landmarks? BG nodded and moved to turn the laptop towards X. X threw up both hands to ward off the incoming visuals. No, I'm good. Just tell, don't show. Coward. Yeah, it's become tradition. There's over 200 of them, and it's kind of honoring them in a way. Those people are still in the adventuring mountain climbing game. Climbers know they've gone so far when they've reached green boots, stuff like that. Green boots, X muttered in one supporting hand. The eerie part for me would be how well preserved some of the bodies are. Think about it, it's just you, your guide, snow, the howling wind, and this guy that died trying to do what you're doing but 30 years ago. Have you ever considered knitting? There's no corpses in knitting, BG. And check this out. BG's fingers flew across her keyboard. Oh, good more. I wish I hadn't quit vaping. I could use several hits right about now, thanks to you. No, you couldn't, BG responded absently. Ah, here it is. Ever heard of the Deadloft Pass incident? Does it involve dead bodies of hikers? Yep. BG flashed her most winning, patented, harmless white girl cheerleader smile at X. Bullshit, big-eyed, innocent look doesn't get you anywhere with me. All right, go ahead, tell me, just no pictures. Oh, it's your turn to learn about the Detloff Pass. Welcome to the club. Gwendy seated herself next to BG. I recognize the website. As you were, Professor BG. She's always been like this? Has she made you watch the movie Alive yet? Gwendy asked X, who shook her head, eyes wide. It's about those soccer players who plane crashed and they ate each other or some shit like that. I'm blurred on the details. I was really baked. Gwendy smiled up at Peter as he tousled her hair. He hoisted himself up on the picnic table behind her, slinging his backpack up with him, and Gwendy continued. She lives for this shit. Exploration taken to the extreme, survivalism and mountain climbing gone wrong, blah, 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 blah. This little psycho was teething on the Donner Party, I swear. To her, the thing is snuff porn. She's right here. I can hear you. May I continue, please? Yes, ma'am. Sorry. Gwendy took a big swig from her water bottle as... Anyway, winter, 1959. Several Russian college students went for a cross-country ski mountain hike. Russian winter. Russian winter mountains. Wow. Gluttons for punishment. X giggled until she was met with another BG look, this look being her "we are not amused" one eyebrow raise. Sorry. Jeez, looks like somebody needs a Happy Meal. You're going to need biofreeze to recover from the extra laps you're going to run after practice tonight. Over Gwendy and Rock's hoots, BG continued. Anyway, this group of students, they were experienced, prepared for every eventuality, but they didn't return on schedule. A rescue group found them all dead, scattered away in different directions from their tent. It looked like they clawed or cut their way out of their tent from the inside. Rock pulled his knit cap down over his eyebrows, and did his best imitation of Heather's confession tape from the Blair Witch Project, complete with exaggerated snotty breath intakes. Tell Mike's mom I'm sorry, and Joshua's mom, and my mom. Without looking, BG aimed a lackadaisical swat in his direction and connected with Gwendy's arm instead. Ow! And some of the hikers had inexplicable injuries. Inexplicable how? Now you have me a little spooked, B. Rock wiggled his fingers at X, accompanied with a hearty woo-wee-oo, and she shooed him off with a wrist flick. Come on, I'm paying attention now. Don't leave me hanging. One had an extensive skull fracture with no object nearby that could have caused it. One of the two women's tongue was missing. A third had extensive brain damage, but with no damage to the skull or head. The other six died of hypothermia. The creepiest thing to me is they fought to escape their tent and all left the campsite on foot. And those two facts are a couple of the only proven facts to these days. To this day, Rock stretched and in a deliberately poor Russian accent joked, "In Soviet Russia, mountain climb you!" Her tongue was missing? X bit the side of her lower lip. Like maybe she bit part of it off from trauma or violent shuddering? Nope, BG grinned. Gone. Nada. No tongue for you. She hit a few keystrokes, then started to swivel the computer around to her friends. Here's a collection of search party and scene photos. I'm sorry the captions are in Russian. Both Alexandra and Gwendolyn bounced backward several inches, and Rock reached over Gwendy's shoulder to partially close the laptop. Yikes! Come on, Pope. They're just like 70-year-old black and whites of dead people. This isn't The Ring. They're not going to crawl out of my computer and get you. Not everyone has your strong stomach, X countered. BG shrugged and wheeled the laptop back flush with her and began typing again. Why are you so fascinated with hiking, adventuring, and climbing disasters? Gwendy asked, putting both hands on the small of her back and arching. Rot reached down, swatting her hands away, and rubbed underneath her sweater. Smiling, she bowed her back towards him but kept her eyes on BG. I mean, do your own thing, you know that, but it's this thing you love so much. And yet you're fascinated by real life and fictional accounts of it going horribly wrong. Well, you don't hear these cool stories about things going right. Oh, you mean like mysterious tongue rippers? Those cool stories? That's the kind you mean?
Yuck it up, Pope.
I specifically hate that name. I know, but do you have any stories in your life that approximate that? Or on your family tree? Or that you stumbled across late at night because you missed the last metro? They're fucking fascinating. These people have unexplained and completely irrational injuries. They went on what was for them a strenuous but routine and well-planned hiking and camping excursion. And they went down in history. Fucking history, man. It's only the creepy and catastrophic that people remember and talk about. No one talks about the hiker or base jumper who had a lovely day, a successful run with a nice picnic and spilt of tea, then toddled their talented ass home to do it again tomorrow. She paused for breath and argument, receiving none of the latter, only baffled looks. Not even if they're the best of the best, Olympians. Name me one biathlon Olympian medalist, any level, any country. That's the amazing superhuman cross-country skiing with precision shooting. You can't do it, can you? What about decathlon? Bruce Jenner, ha! X, that was 40 goddamn years ago, and you only know who Jenner is from watching the Kardashians. It counts! Hey, it counts! No, it doesn't, because you don't know what he did, do you? Long, awkward stare silence. X finally gave in and laughed, answered with, oh, okay, fuck, Wheaties box, you got me, I don't know. My point exactly. And the only soccer you know about is sweet baby Jesus David Beckham. Thank you, Rock. BG responded over the girl's laughter. And you know him because he has all those underwear ads. You don't know his stats. No, girl, but I know his measurements. So Beckham, because of his junk, and the movie Bend It Like Beckham, and the team that ate their teammates after the plane crash, their story was told in the movie Alive. Uruguay! Gwendy piped up, then covered her mouth with one hand in surprise. Oh, Jesus, you're right. Yep. BG stood up and began to pack. You don't remember the guy's name that invented base jumping, but you can describe every time it went wrong that you've seen on YouTube. You can't name anyone who successfully hiked the U.S. and lived off the land, but you know who Christopher McCandless is. That's not a fair one, B, X countered as BG shouldered her bag. Into the Wild was huge around here because he was from Nova. He's one of our peeps. B
BG took a couple of steps away from the picnic table, turned back to face her friends, reshouldering her backpack, and adjusting the bulge of her chunky sweater as she did so. Yeah, he was. Northern Virginia privileged kid who didn't play by the rules. Only he didn't get reined in back in like we have. Funny that. All communities are myth-making, and none more so than communities of the privileged and the sequestered. Joyce Carol Oates, Middle Age, A Romance. You are not going to believe what BG's old man said on the news, Root said as he pulled Gwendy towards him by her arms, her feet braced against his feet. Ow, you troglodyte! I would like to keep... That word began, keep, as he pulled her more deeply into the stretch. My hamstrings. Damn it, asshole! As she pulled to stretch him, he prompted, well, want to hear it? Stretch. Hear what? I don't remember what you said. It's lost in a haze of pain. Stretch. BG's dad, on the news. You haven't heard yet? Through easily communicated habit, they both opened their legs in flying V's, continuing the pulling stretch in that manner, deeper between them, between the intimate space between them, between their faces and crotches. Stretch. No, you gossip worse than any chick. Just tell me already. Stretch. He said that she was the daughter every dad asked for, that, quote, our Beatrice Grace has never given the family a moment of trouble. Ow! Gwen, what the fuck? Gwendy was now up from her seated flying V and squatting over a prone Root, who was holding his head. He had been beginning her stretch, starting to pull her towards him into their between, and in her shock, Gwendy had released his hands, causing Root to fly backwards and hit his head on the floor. She duck-crawled to him and flapped her hands around his head ineffectually. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? What do you need? Just help me up, he grunted, and together they eased him back up to a wincing seated position. Note to self, you don't handle surprises well at all. He really said that? She sank down to the gym floor next to Root. Her still fluttering fingers reached to touch the back of his head, and he swatted her away. I'm fine. My head's harder than that. Yes, exactly what he said, more or less. I know he's a master at sweeping under rugs, but at this point, hasn't she messed up so much she's left a trail? A serious bunny trail of bad deeds? Root wagged his head from side to side, cracking his neck loudly. More like the Oregon Trail. You have died of dysentery and credit card fraud. She just crashed her car right before Halloween. Remember, Daddy himself came up that Thursday to buy her a new one. Again. Gwendy frowned, her dark eyes squinting. Do you think we even know everything she's done? Oh, hell no. You went to high school with her. Do you know why she left UVA? She shook her head, drawing her knees up and wrapping her arms around them. Despite her love pink warm-up pants, she was thoroughly chilled. She told me she didn't like living in Charlottesville and that the nursing school was snobby and cliquey. Root cupped one of her kneecaps in his hand and gently shook it. Do you believe a single word of that? Gwendy shook her head, able to move her body before she could finally move her mouth. Nope. Do you think all of this is her, I don't know, wrongdoings, chaos, karma, whatever the fuck, come home to roost? Gwendy rested her chin on her knees. I have heard of much stranger things happening, I don't know. Do you believe in that stuff? I don't know. She just causes so much trouble, it's got to bounce back around eventually, right? She's not a bad person, Root. It's not a matter of bad, it's self-absorbed. No, that implies too much arrogance. Self-involved. She lives in her own little inner, obsessive, bizarre world, and sometimes she comes out to visit the rest of us. You've put a lot of thought into this, haven't you? Gwendy sighed. I've had years. Root took one of her hands and idly toyed with her fingers, not from any flirty motivation, but from not having anything else to divert his attention. Finally, you know we need to make some team decisions. Mm-hmm, Gwendy answered her knee. And since Priscilla has kind of assumed the helm around here, things could get awkward really fast. He waited for Gwendy to help, to bail him out with ideas, with a plan, with a diversion from this deeply unpleasant conversation. Something. She waited for him to rescue her. Stalemate. It was his turn to sigh. We have to decide about the season. Do we even continue? If we do, is Miss Priss our captain? If not, who is? And who is going to be our main flyer? Gwendy's head snapped up at this, and he held up his hand. Hear me out. We have to hope she's coming home any day now. Their spoiled ass is roosting somewhere, watching and laughing, but we have to do stuff like she's not, you know? And all of our routines, thanks to BG Diva, are designed around a main high flyer. I'm not saying now, this soon, but sooner or later. Gwendy burrowed her nose between her knees and wiggled it back and forth with an unintelligible noise, a wordless release of pain and confusion. BG's dead. BG's fucking with us. BG's been kidnapped. Now BG's an angel princess and we have to deal with Miss Priss being the new BG. My friend might be dead or chained up like in some Criminal Minds episode, and we're talking competition strategy. She looked up at Root now, her fake and real eyelashes all askew. There aren't any serial killers currently operating in Virginia, right? Say no. Tell me no. No, Gwendy, darling, Root answered, softening his tone in response to her rise in emotion. Somebody wake me up when this is all over. I should have taken Daddy's offer for a semester off in Europe. I could be in Italy right now. Beautiful, wine-soaked, oblivious Italy. May you live in interesting times. Go fuck yourself, Root. Hashtag SMH. Hashtag WTF. Hashtag FFS. Hashtag STFU. Virginia, Rockingham County, Police. File 2016-1101.13. Missing person, Burchette Beatrice Grace. Data, social media activity for fall term of Tyler College, Thursday, September 8th, 2016, first date of classes, to Monday, October 31st, 2016, last date verified contact. Facebook wall, rearranged by reporting investigator to read in chronological order, notarized November 3rd, 2016. Facebook account, Beatrice Burchette, 670 friends, 1,209 followers. Quotes and bio section at top of profile. The world is put back by the death of everyone who has had to sacrifice the development of his or her peculiar gifts to conventionality. Florence Nightingale. Damn, it feels good to be a gangsta. Note, wall posts were all, quote, friends only. Reference to witness statement 2016-1101.10, Day Cath, but were all set to public when account accessed by this investigator, reason and vehicle of change unknown. Said witness stated in a report that Beatrice only posted photographs publicly. Facebook account belonging to Beatrice has been claimed now by father of missing person, Amos Burchette, and locked as memorial account per Facebook policy, and hidden again, status either friends only or private, by person or persons at this time unconfirmed by this investigator, assumed to be claimant of account Amos Burchette. Interview has yet to be scheduled with said father of missing person. See attached contact log for a record of ongoing attempts to secure official interview. 1. Okay, bitches, let's do this. Cheer practice schedule needs to be finalized, so Mama BG needs to see class schedules pronto from certain unnamed people who have dragged their certain unnamed expensive sneakers until this last minute. September 7th, 5:34 a.m. 2. Read 'em and weep. Fall term, you are my bitch. Psychiatric mental health nursing, advanced anatomy, health assessment, professional role of the registered nurse, math for medical professionals, and medical history. Bend over. September 7th, 10:23 a.m. You know you have to cheer, eat, sleep, and breathe in there too, yeah? Priscilla Burchette, September 7th, 12:34 p.m. Thanks, Mom. Beatrice Burchette, September 7th, 12:39 p.m. You just put your daily locations on the net for every Tom, Dick, and Harry serial killer stalker wacko. Wave to 4chan. Calvin Branch, September 7th, 4:35 p.m. Thanks, Dad. Anyone else? How about way to go, B? Way to matriculate, B. Beatrice Burchette, September 7th, 4:45 p.m. Me not know big word my trick you ate. Peter Beale, September 8th, 11:45 a.m. 3. My plans for being the head nursing administrator of the CDC, nay, the entire East Coast, are well in hand. Taking early applications for a trophy husband now. September 13th, 2006, 3:30 a.m. Nurse Ratchet, do you ever sleep? Alexander Beverly, September 13th, 10:13 a.m. You got that right. Better to be feared than to be loved. Take your meds, boo-boo. Yes, for 2 hours a night, I hang upside down from the ceiling like a bat. That's the real reason I have a single room. Beatrice Burchette, September 13th, 10:17 a.m. Girl, your work for the CDC is going to be as a disease sample. Maybe as a resistant wonder kind. Calvin Branch, September 13th, 2006, 2:46 p.m. Root, my girl Brits shine like the top of the Chrysler building. Beatrice Burchette, September 13th, 2:49 p.m. Glowing in the dark is not the same thing as shining. Calvin Branch, September 13th, 6:50 p.m. Bedazzling your vag doesn't count, you dumb whore. Those extra crystals are weighing you down in basket tosses. Priscilla Burchette, September 13th, 7:46 p.m. You're weighing me down. Kiss daddy for me. Beatrice Burchette, September 13th, 7:48 p.m. I'm the older sister, biatch. Come correct. Priscilla Burchette, September 13th, 8:02 p.m. I'll remember this when I'm responsible for what old folks' home to stick your ass in. See you next Tuesday. Beatrice Burchette, September 13th, 8:04 p.m. Can't we all just get along? Peter Beale, September 14th, 5:34 p.m. Rock, you racist fuck. You're supposed to be here at practice. Get a move on. Beatrice Burchette, September 14th, 5:37 p.m. 4. Random profound quote written of a scenic view that could be anywhere, pointedly, passively, aggressively, sort of about you. Beatrice Burchette, September 17th, 4:17 a.m. Vague booking challenge accepted, response in kind about you, but not really, LOL. Alexandra Beverly, September 17th, 9:34 a.m. Standard complaint about vague booking enhanced by condescending Facebook policy. Peter Beale, September 17th, 11:56 a.m. 5. Why are illegal competition moves so much fun? Beatrice Burchette, September 19th, 2:36 a.m. Because you are a masochist and secretly don't want us to win competitions. Bitch, quit trying to include them. Some of us know the regs just as well as you do. Priscilla Burchette, September 19th, 10:02 a.m. Because you're a sadist and secretly are hoping one of us gets hurt. Peter Beale, September 19th, 11:34 a.m. Because you're a masochist and secretly hope you will get hurt. Stop it. Gwendolyn Hampton, September 19th, 12:56 p.m. Well, this got dark real quick. Calvin Branch, September 19th, 2:45 p.m. All y'all are sick, you know that? Buzz. Wrong. The correct answer for 1,000 points and a picture of my boobs was 1, because the power that be tell us we can't do them, and 2, the illegal tosses are illegal specifically because the height they can achieve higher than the treetops, unless y'all are too scared to throw and catch a girl, punks. Beatrice Burchette, September 19th, 2:56 p.m. I'm still betting on the sadist theory, notwithstanding. You got some dom in you, girl. Peter Beale, September 9th, 4:01 p.m. Take a lap, asshole. Beatrice Burchette, September 19th, 4:05 p.m. That's asshole rock to you. Peter Beale, September 19th, 4:45 p.m. 6. Note to self. Dean Potter, free climbing equals ascending a mountain without the use of safety equipment, free climbed the tiger, then jumped off a specially designed lightweight parachute for free base jumping. Beatrice Burchette, September 22nd, 4:45 a.m. No safety equipment. Wouldn't it be less effort to play in traffic? Jesus. Calvin Branch, September 22nd, 9 a.m. I understand. The biggest risk you've ever taken is showing up for calculus class. Beatrice Burchette, September 22nd, 9:12 a.m. Seriously, just clinging to the rock face? I'm not afraid of heights, and that gives me the wiggins. Are you considering? Of course you are. Alexandra Beverly, September 22nd, 11:34 a.m. Can I watch? Catherine Day, September 22nd, 11:56 a.m. Can I sell tickets? Calvin Branch, September 22nd, 12:13 p.m. If I say yes, will you back the fuck up and leave me alone about mountain climbing and hiking and give me some peace? Beatrice Burchett, September 22nd, 12:16 p.m. Yes. Catherine Day, September 22nd, 4 p.m. Maybe. Throw some sexual favors in, and it's definitely yes. Calvin Branch, September 22nd, 9:34 p.m. Okay, you may sell tickets, and yes, you may receive oral from Kate. Beatrice Burchett, September 22nd, 9:56 p.m. See you next Tuesday. Catherine Day, September 22nd, 10:45 p.m. Oh, come on, he's been down that road before, led down the drawbridge. Priscilla Burchett, September 23rd, 9:35 a.m. 7. Why'd you leave? Things were just getting interesting. Gwendolyn Hampton, October 31st, 3:35 a.m. Some people can't take what they dish out. Rachel Chalmers, October 31st, 6:30 a.m. I don't remember you being in my dorm room for the party, random extra skank, so how would you know? Catherine Day, October 31st, 9:02 a.m. I don't know how you remember anything from the party unless those shots were water. Rachel Chalmers, October 31st, 10:21 a.m. Ooh, somebody set up their bae? Party fucking foul. Dan Hamilton, October 31st, 11:03 a.m. I think Catherine blocked us both. Boo-hoo. Interesting that Beatrice didn't. Waiting for this to pop off. Rachel Chalmers, October 31st, 11:46 a.m. 8. Where are you, my bitch? My phone is locked in your dorm room, you spoiled single room having brat. You snatched up my phone in your hurry to leave the party like Cinder fucking Ella. Find my phone app, don't lie. Give it. Catherine Day, October 31st, 9:07 a.m. 9. Hungover princess? Alexander Beverly, October 31st, 11:27 a.m. 10. I get it. You're being the invisible woman for Halloween. Good costume. Now get your ass down here so we can get started on our trip. Launch sequence started by X. Calvin Branch, October 31st, 9:12 p.m. 11. Kate typing from Root's phone here because I still don't have my phone. Hello. I don't get it by practice. Your RA's breaking in. Also, Dr. Hamilton's livid that you missed the guest speaker in psych MH her nursing today, seeing as you're the one who coordinated it. Warpath livid. Fair warning. Calvin Branch. November 1st, 10:32 a.m. 12. No captain, no practice, no bueno. Damn straight I gave him the night off. I'm captain now. You snooze, you lose. I win again. Priscilla Burchett. November 1st, 5:03 p.m. 13. This isn't cute, BG. Look, I know last night wasn't like ideal, and I'm sorry, but what's with the bullshit stunt? I got the RA to open your door. What's with packing up some of your shit? I told the staff you were mad just pulling the stunt, but I RA called her supervisor, who insisted on calling TC security. Next is probably the cops. You know either Rent-A-Cops or Miss Press are gonna call your dad, so you win. Calm down. Take down your creepy pyramid of U-Haul boxes and cut this shit before it goes nuclear. Catherine Day, November 1st, 9:24 p.m. 14. WTF, not funny, you morbid cow. Peter Beale, November 1st, 11:47 p.m. 15. You need to call me immediately, Beatrice. Timothy Keene, November 2nd, 7:32 a.m. Beauty is rarely soft or conciliatory. Quite the contrary. Genuine beauty is often quite alarming. The Secret History, Donna Tartt. Tyler, nursing student missing, no return after fall break. Nick Mitchell, Wednesday, November 2nd. Beatrice Grace Burchett, 21, of Hemlock Grove, Loudoun County, has not been communicated with since Tyler College reconvened from its fall break this Monday. It has now been 36 hours since the junior in nursing was expected to be attending classes and cheerleading practices, stated her father, Amos Burchett, also of Loudoun. Classes resumed this past Monday. Authorities are asking anyone who has had contact with Beatrice, either in person or online, to contact either Loudoun County, Virginia Police, or Tyler College Security. Full contact information given in sidebar. Beatrice is 5'6", 120 pounds with an athletic build. She has pale blue eyes, red hair which becomes more auburn brown at the ends, and a tree tattoo on her left ankle. Amos Burchett, in speaking to the press, stated that Beatrice was the daughter that every father hoped for. She was his, quote, best buddy. Our Beatrice Grace has never given the family a single moment of trouble, and we miss her terribly. Tyler College students still missing, foul play not ruled out, police and school officials tight-lipped. Nick Mitchell, Saturday, November 5th. No new details are being released at this time, now 5 days after Tyler College junior nursing student and champion cheerleader Beatrice Burchett's car was found, parked at the side of the road on the switchbacks leading to the ski resort of Massanutten. Missing posters have appeared around the Massanutten Resort, the Tyler College campus, and routes in between, but no press conference has yet been held by either family, college, or law enforcement to officially announce this as a missing persons case. As reported, all that is currently known is that her car was parallel parked on a winding switchback used to ascend the mountain in a craggy and sharp-cornered area where stopping or slowing are both prohibited. There are no pull-offs for drivers for the entire switchback's ascent and descent. Any municipal or community attempt to create one in past years has been declined by the Department of Transportation due to lack of visibility concerns. Items of Burchett's were left in her vehicle, but the exact nature of those items and the state of her vehicle have not yet been released. Inquiries to her family have not received response at time of press. Press conference held in case of missing Tyler College nursing student. Nick Mitchell, Monday, November 7th. 1 week after 21-year-old Tyler College nursing student and cheerleader Beatrice Grace Burchett's car was found parked on the switchback, ascending the mountain leading to the Massanutten Resort, Burchett's hometown Loudoun County Police Force, Tyler College's Rockingham County Police Force, and a representative of Tyler College's police presented Beatrice into information and asked for any possible witnesses to contact a centralized number. Loudoun County Police and Rockingham County Police announced they will be taking the unusual stance of investigating her disappearance jointly. Representing her family were Beatrice's parents, Amos and Louisa Burchett of Hemlock Grove, Loudoun County, and her older sister, Martha Burchett Cotterill, of Washington, D.C. Martha Burchett Cotterill served as spokesperson for the family. Her parents did not speak to reporters nor answer questions. Beatrice's vehicle was found on an unidentified ascent mile marker on this mountain, parked partially off the road. The police would not verify whether or not the vehicle was locked, nor whether or not her keys were left with or near the car. Several personal items of Beatrice's were left in the vehicle, but specifics were not given at this time by the authorities. Authorities confirmed that the last certain sighting of Beatrice was Halloween afternoon at a gas station via CCTV using a self-service gas pump en route between Tyler College campus and the location of her vehicle. The specific business was not identified at this time. That charge was the last activity on any of Beatrice's credit or bank accounts. Her cash balance remains untouched. Martha Burchett Cotterill, Beatrice's elder sister, stated that the last time Beatrice interacted with peers, either online or on campus, was the early morning of October 31st when she left in a Halloween weekend party. Further details about this party and the individuals involved were declined at this time. Burchett Cotterill announced a candlelight vigil will be held on the steps of the family's place of worship, St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Hemlock Grove, Virginia, on Tuesday, November 8th, beginning at 7 p.m. Candlelight vigils held in both missing students' hometown and campus. Search center started by church. Nick Mitchell, Wednesday, November 9th. Two candlelight vigils were held simultaneously for missing Tyler College student Beatrice Burchett, one hosted by St. Mary's Episcopal Church, her home church in Hemlock Grove, Virginia, the other by Tyler College. The Tyler College vigil was organized by Burchett's fellow cheerleaders and was announced as a Facebook event. Tyler College security reported the vigil as well attended and orderly, with only two students detained for behavioral violations of campus regulations. At the Hemlock Grove vigil, the church's vestry announced they were opening and managing the Beatrice Grace Burchett Search Center, locating it in the basement Sunday school classrooms of the church. This reporter attempted to inquire why a search center is only being opened now, 9 days after Beatrice was last seen, and by the church rather than the Burchett family, but neither the family nor the church representatives would respond to questions. Family spokesperson, eldest sibling Martha Brichette Cotterill of Washington, D.C., declined to speak to the crowd beyond reading a prepared statement about Beatrice. Olivia White, Wednesday, November 9th. The Tyler College candlelight vigil for missing student and cheerleader Beatrice Grace Brichette was more vigorous than most such vigils, perhaps because it was organized and led by her fellow cheerleader Catherine Day. Many students, as instructed via campus flyers and social media, used their cell phones as their candles, and Day led the crowd in chanting Beatrice's name and the Take Back the Night slogan. On campus, feminist groups have taken on Brichette's case as their own, organizing safe home escort programs and decorating campus and campus social media with notices for club meetings. These helpful flyers and digital banners are being joined by angry messages, rendered in both slashed marker and in careful computer design. Surprisingly, not all anger being expressed is feminist in nature. A common message seen by this reporter is that violence against Brichette, which is unproven at this point, is somehow just punishment for her indulging in an expensive spa and resort, such as Massanutten. Classism and sexism factors in Tyler College students' disappearance. Olivia White, for Friday, November 11th. The hints of misogyny that swirled around the disappearance of Beatrice Brichette, 21, and her November 9th Tyler College candlelight vigil have grown in volume and have been joined with classism as well. Brichette's well-heeled classmates are claiming that Brichette, who has not been seen since October 31st, may have been on the way to Massanutten in order to indulge in expensive and, quote, decadent spa treatments. According to one student's source who referred to Man Anonymous, you go to Massanutten in a group with guys and girls to ski and snowboard. You go in a group of girls or alone to spa. She was stressed and was so going to Brandy Spa. Going to Brandy Spa means having a series of spa treatments performed using Brandy Pear and Ginger Sorbet, a 60-minute scrub and massage for $95, and manicure and pedicure for an additional $85. These treatments are in addition to the prices of any other spa treatment or massage desired, food, and room prices. A representative for Massanutten Resort confirmed that these spas, prices and spa treatments are normal and competitive for the market and stated they are not unusual or decadent, as stated by the student informant. The rumors on campus, reported by the student informant, are that Brichette made it known that she was stressed from school and family pressures and was considering leaving the nursing program. This student stated that Brichette, quote, bragged at Halloween parties the previous weekend that she was going to Massanutten Spa to, quote, spend daddy's money and relax. The implication is that the person or persons responsible for Brichette's disappearance also heard these statements from Brichette and acted upon them, following her into the mountain pass and stopping her somehow on the switchbacks. When approached by this reporter, the investigators declined to comment on either these rumors or the roles misogyny, classism, and simple jealousy may have played in Brichette's disappearance. Beatrice Grace Brichette, 21, has been missing since October 31st. No in-person telephone or online communication has been made with her since that date. No confirmed CCTV footage of Beatrice has been released to the public. No activity on her bank account has been reported. All that is known is that her car was parked on a winding switchback with some of her belongings left inside the vehicle. She seemed, from oral reports to friends and internet searches on her dorm room computer, to be headed to Massanutten Resort near Harrisonburg. Beatrice is 5'6", 120 pounds, with an athletic build. She has shoulder-length strawberry blonde hair that darkens to auburn at the ends, making it appear dyed, and unusually light blue eyes. She has double piercings in both ears and the tattoo of a birch tree on her left ankle. Anyone having any information about Beatrice Brichette is asked to contact the Loudoun County Police Department at the given phone number. Cut to the baby taking off her clothes. Close up at the sign that says, "We never close." Watching the detectives, Elvis Costello. "Tell me you did not tell that reporter that we are having a slut walk," Alexandra demanded of Catherine's lace-clad haunches. In response, Kate Bates, still bent over and pawing through the crate in the bottom of her closet, wiggled her ass in assent. X winced at the thought of all the cascading repercussions. Kate Bates' roommate, Beth, a history major who had learned the best defense against Kate Bates' antics is a good relocation, held up her cell phone and textbook, one in each hand, in the universal sign of surrender, and scooted past Alexandra out the door to places less half-nude. Slut walk. X sunk down onto Kate Bates' strangely well-made, smooth and pretty bed. Catherine lived as if she were her own mother. Made bed, caps on toothpaste tubes. It was unnerving. Wasn't the Take Back the Night rally cry at the candlelight vigil quite enough? Catherine spread her legs and grinned at Alexandra from between her taut thigh muscles. That was only the appetizer. We're going to have an actual Take Back the Night march, then the slut walk. You'll probably need to buy new lingerie for that. That part of your closet is, shall we say, a little lackluster. You remember that our friend is missing, right? Missing. Presumed dead? Ah, and ha! Kate stood in one fluid motion, raising one manicured figure, and X was both pleased and chagrined to find Kate Bate topless. Not presumed anything. Read the news for contact and context, my dear X. She's of majority age, a grown adult, and so far has done nothing but parked her car illegally and abandoned it. It's been 12 fucking days, X retorted, embarrassed that her voice warbled with emotion. She shoved the side of one thumb between her teeth to hide the sound, biting down on her skin. I mean... She continued to adjust her internal radio dial until her station came in at the right level of blasé to match Kate Bates. I know BG likes a good stunt, but 12 days? Bitch has access to serious funds. She pointed towards Massanutten to throw us all off and buy time, and now she's at some other plush resort spa, getting some posh treatment, way more sexy and Tony than Brandy and Ginger, and laughing at all of us. She'll come back when she's done punishing whoever it is she's punishing this time, and take her heat. Maybe some charge for misusing police resources, something for abandoning the car. I don't know how all this shit works. And hell to pay from her harpy older sister. And then she'll go on doing whatever she wants like she always does. Her daddy'll smooth it all out. Catherine held a white lace camisole in front of her breasts, stunning herself in the mirror with the duck-lip pooch of a frown. I need to spray tan at least once more if I'm going to wear all white. But a slut walk, Kate, really? Sure! Kate spun happily towards her bed. Happily, Alexandra thought wildly. She's having fun. We're all going mad. Dropped the bits of white lace and silk from her hand and reached over X's shoulder, brushing one sweet-smelling armpit and breast unabashedly by Alexandra's cheek. Her hand returned with its prize, a Tyler cheerleading sweatshirt, which Catherine tossed over her head. She continued explaining while still inside the fabric. In the meantime, we use BG's stunt to our advantage. We get people around here, some people woke around here to the... Now her head was free, and she used her head and hands as if looking around the room for the correct words. Systemic misogyny. Misogyny. Alexandra stopped biting her thumb and started on that dry skin on her lip, satisfied when it began to peel and cause pain. You were the one who talked to that reporter. Babe, you're making this all so much worse than it is. It's already awful. This is making it all better! Kate Bate threw her arms wide, her eyes glittering with self-satisfaction and not a little glee. Come on, X, BG's fine. Nobody fucks with BG. She's somewhere getting her priceless VJ waxed into the perfect landing strip. With pounce, Kate Bate landed on her bed, knocking X backwards. She continued crowing, prodding and groping at each body parts of X's as she named them, to X's squealing cries of, Stop it! Get off me! And her armpits waxed and bejeweled, and her nipples buffed with diamond powder and individually insured, and her hips smoothed with a cream made from unicorn tears, and her cheeks microdermed with baby sheep and angel placenta. You stupid whore, stop! Catherine groped and jiggled and pinched everywhere she could reach, tweaking Alexandra's nose, hefting her breast, rubbing her own hair in her face. X shoved, and Kate Bate allowed herself to be shoved. And X laughed under Kate Bates' thrall as she always did, as everyone always did, until she brought herself up short. 12 days, Kate. I know, it does seem like a BG borderline, I hate you, don't leave me, look at me, stunt. Maybe 8 days ago. But Catherine pressed her manicured and fully ringed hands flat to the floor where she'd landed, and pushed off, rising to her feet in one fluid practice motion. Maybe this time is the last time. She half-shuffled one leg into her tight jeans, crinkling her nose at the sudden aghast look on Alexandria's face. Come on, my little nymphette, I didn't mean that, like, the last time. She intoned darkly to make X laugh again. but the laughter had ceased. No, I just mean, oh, fuck, I'm bloated. That maybe BG finally, oh, decided to get out from under expectations and start over. Without her trust fund, without the cash in her account, X asked Kate Bate, who was now applying lipstick in the mirror of the dresser. Maybe she wants to see how the other half lives. Fuck if I know. Kate Bate studied her work, then been carefully seducing the tube of dark lipstick again. X addressed Kate Bate's reflection, not quite making eye contact. We. Kate Bate stopped all primping and looked through the mirror at X, waiting. She'd been waiting for this guilty conscience for 12 days. She could wait all evening for that sentence to be completed. X tore the flap of dry skin off her bottom lip with a sharp slap of a sting, then added to the satisfying burn by biting into that injury. We shouldn't have done that, she finished lamely, looking at some middle distant spot above Kate Bates' head. At the party, I mean, the last one. Party. Kate Bate examined her own lips, tracing the edge of one fingernail along the imaginary edge of the lipstick smudge. It was a drinking game. Not even, just a game. The game that sluts play on her own, please. Overreaction plus attention-seeking plus drinking plus whatever you gave her. Me? Squeaked X. No fucking way. I'm not blaming you, silly bitch. The general you. Dramatic overreaction plus extra shit in her bloodstream equals stunt. She's just going harder than she ever has before this time. Silence. Catherine noisily capped her lipstick and smacked her lips, and turned to find Alexandra decimating her own lip and nail skin. Come on, don't lose it now, my little baby slut. Keep it together, don't make me grip your boobs again. X smiled around her own fingers. There's my girl. Come on, it's tater tot night in the dining hall. I know you got your priorities straight. Let's get your skinny ass down there before they give out all the overly crispy bits around the edge of the pan. Alexandra stood into Catherine's waiting arm, which linked with hers, then squeezed. BG is a ballsy bitch. She climbs mountains and hikes alone, for fun, like a crazy person. She can handle herself. Think of this as performance art. She's having her Yoko Ono moment. One day when we're old crones, you know, in our dried up 40s, tied and tucked from twat to teeth, we will all sit around and get sloshed on Pinot Grigio, and she will explain the big picture to her pedestrian plebeian audience. We'll call her a selfish cunt, stick her with the bill for the wine, and we'll all cougar some young buck law students to prove we still got it. Performance art, X repeated weakly, with an equally wavering smile. Then, ow, goddammit, that's my nipple! Warned you. Now buck up, slut. Let's go slam some tater tots. She's watching the detectives. Oh, he's so cute. She's watching the detectives when they shoot. Elvis Costello watching the detectives. Questioning of individuals in Brichette missing person case. Slow pace of investigation questioned. Nick Mitchell, Sunday, November 13th. Authorities of the joint investigation into Beatrice Brichette's disappearance have confirmed that family, friends, and classmates are finally being called in for interviews. Authorities refuse to verify whether or not they've identified other persons of interest, now 14 days into her disappearance. This reporter spoke to several friends of Beatrice's on Tyler College's campus who confirmed police contact. Some did not participate in interviews due to their parents hiring attorneys for the students. One of Brichette's fellow cheerleaders confirmed a close click made of both students and members of the cheerleading team. Upon promise of anonymity, this female student stated that the group is insular, quote, incestuous, and, quote, exclusive. This reporter asked for confirmation that the group refers to themselves as the peers and required why. The response was, quote, outside this group, we are without peer. The communities surrounding Tyler College, Massanutten Resort, and Hemlock Grove are voicing complaints and concerns about the pace of the investigation, given the season, the terrain, and Brichette's fascination with rock climbing. If she decided to do something reckless and fell, the window to save her has done past days ago, Ethan Broadnax, a lifelong resident of Tyler, Virginia, stated. Temperatures in the mountain passes were already getting towards the freezing mark overnight by Halloween. See sidebar on effects of exposure and its complications on search and rescue. Hypothermia, search and rescue, and crime scenes. This reporter spoke with the Shenandoah Park Rangers about how a person would respond to exposure, especially if injured or disoriented. Press Representative Leslie Vance explained that hypothermia can lead to two dangerous conditions, paradoxical undressing and terminal burrowing. Hypothermia occurs when the body's temperature drops to 95 degrees Fahrenheit or lower. Shivering, the body's first defense, will exhaust the muscles necessary for vasoconstriction. This exhaustion and cessation in shivering causes warm blood to surge from the body's core to the limbs. The result feels like a hot flash. The person experiencing hypothermia is already experiencing confusion and responds to this heat by undressing. Paradoxical undressing is then usually followed by terminal burrowing, which is the person's attempt to fit into the smallest space available, much like a hibernating animal. Injuries are sustained then that appear like defensive wounds. So a naked, hidden body is found with defensive wounds and erroneously is labeled as a victim of a sexual murder, when more likely the victim was lost in the woods and died of exposure. Lack of movement in missing nursing student case despite task force. 17 days and yet no further details. No apparent enthusiasm on parts of authorities. Olivia White, November 16th. Beatrice Grace Brissett, 21, of Hemlock Grove, Loudoun County, has been missing for 17 days. Beatrice is 5'6", 120 pounds, athletic build. She has shoulder-length strawberry blonde hair that darkens to auburn at the end, and unusually light blue eyes. She has double piercings in both ears, and the tattoo of a birch tree on her left ankle. The Tyler College student has not been seen or contacted since Halloween, Monday, October 31, 2016. Her car was found abandoned, parked on the switchbacks, ascending the mountains, leading to Massanutten Resort. Searches on Beatrice's dorm room computer verify interest in Massanutten spa treatments around the end of October. Personal items of unknown specificity were left in Beatrice's car. The family spokesperson is Beatrice's elder sister, Martha Burchett Cotterill of Washington, D.C., and the Beatrice Grace Burchett Search Center is being managed by the family's church, St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Hemlock Grove, Virginia. The above facts are all that have been released to the public and the press. Despite the fact that Loudoun County Police and Rockingham County Police have formed a cooperative task force and therefore have been applying significant manpower to this case, not only have any further facts not been released, but it seems no further facts have been learned. Not only are the police not speaking to the press or public, but it seems the Burchett family is not doing so either. Other than her statements on November 7th and at the candlelight vigil on November 8th, Martha Burchett Cotterill has not been speaking to the press, although she has been seen at the search center, manning phones and distributing flyers. In this investigative vacuum, the public and press are left to fill in the space with theories, and that is exactly what is occurring. On the Tyler College campus, factions continue to escalate via old-fashioned flyers and digital back and forth, and the fevered undercurrents of classism and sexism, in the face of no information, continue to swell. Parents of Tyler College students are clogging the college's switchboards and email accounts, demanding to know if they should withdraw their children for their own safety. Whisper campaigns are rampant in both Rockingham and Loudoun counties about the possible fate of Beatrice Burchett. Public morale and confidence in the police are threatened at this time due to silence and perceived lack of investigation. And still, a 21-year-old woman is not in class with her peers where she belongs.